Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in a Monday edition of the program. We've got another state championship coming back to Southern Indiana thanks to the Silver Creek boys basketball team. They hung on down the stretch Saturday evening in the Class 3A state championship at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It was fun to be there and fun to have the opportunity, not just this season, but over the last 4 years, to cover this Silver Creek program and some of the tremendous players that have come through that program. Some already had graduated, and of course, Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby leading the way this year as seniors. Those guys have been real factors in our area basketball scene since really their freshman year. They were names that you knew were already good and had a chance to be really special, and it all played out just about as well as it could for Silver Creek the last few seasons. I guess the only thing that didn't, probably out of their control, and that's the pandemic and the tournament last year being canceled. And despite the two state championships over the last few years, could there have been a third? That is something that we will never know. Welcome into this Monday program. A quick look at the show lineup for this show to start the week. Segment one, we'll start off with Brandon Hoffman, the coach of Silver Creek, coming up here in just a moment. And segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join. There's always, at this time, lots to talk about with IU basketball. Coach Woodson taking over, players coming and going, assistant coaches. There are still open spots on Coach Woodson's staff. And so much more. We'll also talk about a NCAA championship game tonight, Zaga and Baylor. And it's really two of the better college basketball teams all season long. And, of course, the final four games on Saturday were tremendous. In fact, Saturday as a whole was tremendous for basketball. You had Silver Creek winning in a thriller at Bankers Life Fieldhouse to start the evening. The first Final Four game, Houston and Baylor, it wasn't much at all. Baylor cruised in that game. But then the 4A game, you had Carmel and Lawrence North. I know a lot of people watched that. An overtime game, a great way to wrap up the high school basketball season. And you flip over just at the end of that to catch the end of UCLA and Zaga. And what a finish that was, with Suggs hitting not a half-court shot, but 7-8 feet inside the half-court line. The basically game winner, which was one of the best NCAA. We're going to see that moment on the One Shining Moment and in promotions and commercials for years to come, a lot like we've seen some of the other big shots from Christian Laettner and others over the years, Bryce Drew as well, in the NCAA tournament. Then later in the show, Chad Gilbert will join. Chad is with me Mondays. He's the athletic director at Charlestown High School. He's also the IHSA Executive Board President this year and a former coach in the area. We've got plenty of local stuff to talk about with him today when he joins the show. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service. It's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get right to our first guest, and we've had him on every week since winning a sectional championship 5 weeks ago, then a regional, then a semi-state a few weeks ago, and now we can welcome on Brandon Hoffman, once again a state championship coach for Silver Creek. Coach, what a game on Saturday. Congratulations on another 3A title.
Oh, thanks, Matt. Like you said, it's becoming kind of a Monday thing to get to talk to you. And that's just the great news. That means we keep winning. So, you know, just hearing that state champion thing, just it still kind of seems surreal, even from the first one we won. So it's just a really surreal and cool feeling.
great game on Saturday. I know that you probably would have liked to have seen the margin a little wider than what it was, but Leo is a team, and you and I spoke about this on the air and off the air last week. They're a team that was playing good basketball at the right time. They didn't have the talent to match up with you guys or a lot of the teams that they've beaten in the state tournament en route to the championship game, but it just was a case of a team really clicking that had some leadership and some scores and a right mix. And you could just tell in that second half, they were determined to keep it close. They weren't going to go away.
You're right. They had a great game plan to kind of pack it in and take away our penetration and give our inside guys a lot of attention. And like I told you all week, you know, the Davidson kid is just a really, really good high school player that would just refuse to lose. And he did all he could in the second half for Leo to win. They just, you know, we just made a couple of big plays at the end. And like you said, we could have made some more free throws at the end, would have made it a little more on everybody, a little easier on everybody's heart in Sellersburg. But, you know, that's the way it goes. And they don't put ugly next to state championship win. So it's just we won. That's the bottom line. And just super, super thrilled for our guys.
Yeah, absolutely. 50-49, the final score from Saturday's state championship game. Cooper Jacoby, I think from an individual player standpoint, we need to start there. He had 18 points in the game. We had him for 19 rebounds. I think the official box score had him for 18. Nonetheless, that is just an amazing stat line. He saved one of his best games of the tournament run for the big win, the state championship game. And I guess the reason that I was so thrilled personally to see him play well in that championship is he's an Indiana All-Star candidate, and because of how talented, and this seems to be the case each and every year in our state, but because of how talented this senior class is, as good as Cooper is, I think a lot of people view him as a borderline candidate, somebody that could be on the roster when it is voted on and announced, and somebody that could maybe just miss the All-Star roster. But I think he really helped himself in that championship game on Saturday. What a performance from him, Coach Hoffman, to close out his career as a Dragon. And let's hope that that propels him, along with Trey Kaufman, who's a lock and maybe a Mr. Basketball winner as well. We'll find that out soon, to the All-Star team. A duo of Dragons would be great this summer.
I tell you what, it's been one of the biggest joys of my life to be able to coach Cooper, you know, along with Trey and the other guys on the team. But, I mean, Cooper is just as good as it gets. He's as good as it gets when it comes to a teammate. And the occasions he rises up to, he made so many big plays. He's just a winner. He's just a winner. And, I mean, I don't know what the All-Star committee will be looking for, but if you're looking for stats, he has them. Looking for the played against the best competition, he did it. You're looking for wins, he's got two state titles. Maybe could add a third. He played his best game, arguably of the year, you know, since Christmas probably, in the state championship game. So I don't know what else more Cooper could have done to make the All-Star team. If he doesn't make it, I think it would be an outright shame, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, let's hope that he really helped his case. I know a lot of media people that were in attendance are watching, very complimentary of him after the game, and that's the next challenge, is to make sure that you've got two on that All-Star team this summer. Trey Kaufman, Wren, obviously what a season he has had. He'll head to Purdue now that his career at Silver Creek has come to a close. He had 13 points, also double-digit rebounds as well, so he closes his career with a double-double. Had some trouble getting some of the nearby shots, bunny-type shots, to go early in the game, but that's because they were running two guys at him. In fact, sometimes when he would get down in the paint, there would even be three hands or three sets of hands around him as he tried to score the basketball. But he stayed with it, battled through, finishes with a double-double in the state championship game. Another big effort from him as well.
You're right. I mean, I think I know Trey really enjoyed his high school career, and there's nothing else more he could have done, but I'm sure there's a piece of him that's looking forward to going to college, to where he's going to get to play one-on-one when he has the ball. Because, you know, I mean, pretty much this whole year, whenever he got it, teams would send, you know, another guy or maybe two other guys at him. And he'd just face, you know, he'd have to score on the whole team pretty much. a lot of time when he caught it. And the mental toughness and perseverance he had through that was great. You know, we hit a lot of big threes in the second half, you know, and Trey Shane had a big one in the first half. And I know, you know, a lot of that came from guys being open because Trey's, you know, getting so much attention on a double team or whatever. So he's, you know, he's, like I said, like I just said with Cooper, like, I don't know what else Trey could have done in his career. And the fact that he gets to go out a champion, as well as all the records he holds at Silver Creek, is just remarkable.
Yeah, no question. Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman joining us as we start the week, his state championship team. And, Coach, there'll be a celebration. Is it this evening at the high school? Give us the details on that.
Yeah, we're going to – well, because of Easter yesterday and because of our late arrival last night, we're going to go ahead and do the celebration tonight at 7 o'clock in our gym. You know, we're going to – you know, we're going to brag on these guys and celebrate them as much as possible because they deserve it. And so we're looking forward to getting everybody together, you know, in Sellersburg and all our fans. Hope we can have a big crowd for that.
I tell you what, Sellersburg and Silver Creek fans, they're used to this kind of stuff over the last few years, including just a few weeks ago with the girls' team. They've had quite the March Madness starting back in February with the girls' run to the state championship, obviously a winner there, and then 4 or 5 weeks with your team as well. This has been quite a time for the community as a whole.
It's just incredible, Matt. Just incredible. And like I said, it almost seems surreal. It's just crazy. You know, from where the program was when we first started in the first couple of years I was coach to what our community has been able to experience here lately is just incredible. You know, we were joking the other day that the people that live in town on the main strip there, they're not able to sleep much on Saturday nights because there's been sirens going off here the last 7 or 8 weeks every Saturday night, which is a beautiful thing. And then just the community support, you know, being from Sellersburg, I know a lot of the, you know, a lot of the old guard, a lot of the old fans and loyal fans, and it's just that's very special to me to get to see them at the celebrations because you know, they've been through thick and thin with us.
Brandon Hoffman is joining us here to start the show. Before we get away from the game too far, I want to bring up Trey Shane, Brandon Northern, and also Isaac Hinton. They all had some key baskets in that state championship game. You mentioned a big three from Trey Shane early in the game. Isaac Hinton had a big second half again as well. That's kind of his mantra, at least it has been in the tournament for you guys. And then also Brandon Northern, once again, running the offense, running the show for your team from that perspective. Those guys were big contributors as well.
I tell you what, just what a postseason Isaac Hinton had. I mean, it was almost clockwork, that dude hitting just tremendous timely shots and making big plays in the second half of every round of the postseason. And he was just I mean, and, you know, everybody else gets a lot of attention, that's deservedly so, but golly, we're not where we are without Isaac, that's for sure. And then Trey the same way. Trey was, you know, he made his mark as one of the best defenders in the state throughout the tournament. And the way he played was tremendous. You know, he spent a lot of time the last 2 weeks working on shots, getting to the gym, getting a lot of shots up, and it paid off. He had a big three and a couple other points, baskets. And, you know, at the free throw line to seal a state championship win, he finds himself at the free throw line with not much time left. That's just that's something he'll always have. And all his family was they'll always have that joy. I mean, I'm thinking of Randall, his grandpa. And, you know, actually I made eye contact with Scotty while Trey's heading to the free throw line. And it's one of the few times in this world where Scotty has been speechless himself. It was that's just a great experience. But yeah, just so thrilled for those two.
Absolutely. And we mentioned that on our broadcast as well. I said, you know, how ironic is it, about a month or so ago we were sitting here broadcasting and Coach Shane was in Coach Hoffman's chair coaching a state championship, but today he's helpless as a fan in the stands watching his son step to the free throw line with some really big opportunities there. Just kind of ironic how things work. Coach, I've got to ask this, and we've talked before about what it means to be from Sellersburg and coach at your alma mater, but when that final horn goes off, I know you celebrate these young men first and foremost, as you should, but what does it mean to you to win a state championship, to have built this program to where it's at, to have won multiple state championships and many other accolades as well in recent years, lots of other great experiences that you and your players have had in recent years because of all the success? What does it mean to do it at the place you're from and at the place you played basketball and in the community that you were raised and lived in?
Well, I think when you coach where you've grown up and played, you know, there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows. You know, when you lose, feel a lot more responsible for it. You kind of feel like you let people down, and when you win, it's even more so, that much greater, because you've seen, you know everybody in the community. You've been there, and I get to, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is our players and our you know, our assistant coaches. You know, you think of, and you know, our managers and our administrators, all the people that put in all the hours into accomplish this goal. I can remember in 2014, the day, you know, the pregame warm-up of our sectional game versus Brownstown. And I'm just talking to Dave, like, man, just let me win one sectional. I just want to win one. Because Brownstown had dominated. And I was like, I would just love to win one, just to see what it's like. And then, you know, I think that was our goal back then. And then now we've been able to win two in a row. It's overwhelming, to tell you the truth. Like, I get asked this question all the time, and I feel bad because I don't have the right words, just how to put it, but it's just overwhelming. And I just I don't know, it's just one of those things where I feel like I've just been, it's almost unfair how much I've been blessed with.
Yeah, absolutely. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, coach, congratulations. And we'll be coming soon with a Night of Champions program for the girls. That'll be coming up here in the next few weeks. And then following that, an evening with Coach Hoffman, his coaches, and the boys' championship team as well. A Night of Champions show for them right here on the Big X as well. Coach Hoffman, I can remember when we first met, you were the JV coach, a very young Brandon Hoffman and a very young Matt Dennison, I guess, at the time. And I knew you were going to had your sights set on that job. Obviously, you wanted to eventually become the head coach at your alma mater, but who would have known it would have translated into all of this success and all these great memories and all these interviews as well. So very happy for you, my friend, and congratulations, and thanks for joining us throughout this process each week, sometimes multiple times in the week for interviews. It kind of made it, I think, people and listeners a lot more closer to what was going on maybe than what they were, and for that we are very appreciative.
Hey, well, like I said, I don't have the words to express how grateful I am to be able to do this with you, Matt. So it's just one of the joys of being part of this ride is to bring light to our program, you know, with the things that you do. So, you know, I'm just as much appreciative as you.
Thank you very much. Brandon Hoffman, state championship coming back to Sellersburg. A great season. What a performance by Cooper Jacoby to lead the way in the championship game. And we'll have more coming up on Night of Champions show opportunities for the girls and the boys, where we celebrate any state championship that comes back to our local area. You can hear from the players and coaches directly. And we've got those set for the girls and the boys coming up very soon from Silver Creek to celebrate their championship performances. We'll head to a commercial break. One note as we do, Romeo Langford back in the lineup for the Celtics on Sunday night. He got two brief stints for Boston. In the second stint, he had a three-pointer, and then he followed that up with a block shot as well and had 12 minutes. Very energetic was Romeo last night after the wrist injury and, of course, COVID-19. He had a case of that most recently that kept him out for an extended period as well. But back with 12 minutes and a couple points last night, and most importantly, a Celtics win last night as well. It's going to be interesting. He's headed for some minutes, it looks like, for this Boston team, which is struggling some at times under Coach Stevens. We'll head to a break. Zach Osterman is next. IU basketball and the NCAA championship game on tap. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you 100-1 odds on the golfer of your choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, so sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in all the action and choose your golfer before the tournament tees off Thursday morning. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THR when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer of your choosing finishes in the top 10 of this weekend's tournament. That's code THR to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Monday program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Zach is with us Mondays to talk IU basketball, IU football, and more. And obviously the big news for Coach Woodson in this IU basketball program after we went off the air Friday, it came out in the afternoon that Trace Jackson Davis, they called a press conference. He announced he is going to stay at Indiana for his junior season. And obviously, Zach, for IU, for Coach Woodson, for the roster next season, as there still are a lot of moving pieces for what could happen with this upcoming year, still some months away, obviously, as the national championship game set for tonight. But getting TJD back is big for IU next season, and it sounds like Coach Woodson is telling players and recruits that he doesn't necessarily want to rebuild. He'd like to compete right out of the gate the best he can.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it's very good news, and, you know, we're still kind of in that. I mean, as I sit here reading about reactions from the first weekend of the baseball season, I think I sort of feel like I'm probably putting all the same caveats and disclaimers on any of my analysis that that baseball writers are on judging the first weekend, and that we're still dealing in small sample sizes and it's early. But beyond the obvious of, you know, getting back a player that was a first team All Big Ten performer last season, that was probably one of the top forwards in the country. It's also, I think, encouraging that it seems like, from Indiana's perspective, Mike Woodson's sales pitch, if you will, is really resonating. And I think that was one of the big questions coming into this year, or coming into this hire, excuse me, was to what extent can Woodson really, you know, connect with younger players and you know, sort of sell them, essentially, for lack of a better term, on his vision, because he's never had to recruit. Obviously, you know, it is worth saying he's had these conversations probably through free agency and things like that. But, from a recruiting perspective, this may not be true out-and-out recruiting. But it is, you know, it's not terribly dissimilar either. And I think that, again, we're dealing with small sample sizes, but IU fans should be encouraged that you got a player basically saying, I mean, Trace Jackson Davis's words were, I was dead set on entering the draft and hiring an agent. And now he's not going to do that. And, you know, wherever we are in the process, I think Indiana fans would be right to be encouraged by that.
Zach, I think it's interesting to hear Coach Woodson talk about, and I think this was in an interview he did with Don Fisher, kind of a sit-down shortly after he was hired within the first few days, where he kind of openly discussed Trace Jackson Davis. Obviously, he was complimentary of him as well, but he discussed some of the weaknesses, the obvious weaknesses he has as a potential NBA draft pick. And for him to be open and discuss those things. And then in the press conference on Friday, there was a fire alarm that interrupted things in Bloomington. And so I had another phone call meeting. I had to jump off. I didn't get to listen to the entire thing. But it was one of the more open and honest, and not that anything's been misleading in Bloomington or anything like that, but just seemed to be much more of a different feeling already. Even hearing from Trace Jackson Davis on Friday and his announcement that he would come back to Bloomington for his junior year, just a lot of openness, a lot of willingness to discuss some tough points that fans want to hear about, media wants to write about and talk about. And that was a little different from what we've been used to the last number of years, really, not just under Archie Miller, but the last number of years in Bloomington. Things are pretty locked down and quiet.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It was very frank, to be honest. And, you know, it felt like in some ways there was, you know, maybe a lot of and I don't want to speak for Trace Jackson Davis or put words in his mouth, to be really clear, but it did feel a little bit, you know, kind of like a you know, almost Jackson Davis almost talked like someone who's refreshed, you know, and he said, you know, it's like there wasn't any light, there wasn't any real energy around the program. And, you know, I think a lot of people took that as a criticism of Archie Miller. You know, I think it could be just as easily taken as just sort of saying, like, this winter was really dark and it was really tough, you know, which I think it was probably for all of us in different ways in terms of not being able to do the normal things we do in life and, you know, maybe not being able to see family or friends as often and being worried about everything going on and so forth. And one way or the other, it did feel, whatever his intention, whatever his meaning, you know, like Trace Jackson Davis was very refreshed from, you know, just the renewal, I guess, more than anything else, of everything kind of going on, everything going on around the program in the last couple of weeks. And again, these are all things that you sort of say, hey, it's April 5th. There's a long way to go for this to, you know, turn into wins and losses. But I think it is all just encouraging, and it's encouraging when you hear Trace Jackson Davis talk about just everything that really kind of, you know, he's feeling in terms of, you know, just kind of unloading about, hey, I'm going to go recruit my teammates to get them back. We're going to recruit other guys to come in here and help us. And we believe in this, and this is going to get turned around, and this is going in the right direction. And, you know, it just sort of feels like things had not just gotten stale around IU. I think as a program, IU basketball kind of gotten stale. I think as a team, you could see a real just sort of discontent, frankly, in some ways, or just a, you know, just a lack of enthusiasm because of the way that everything had finished last season, and just how much the air had kind of come out of the balloon, not because guys were quitting, but just because, you know, when the losing and the negativity pile up like that, you can't blame them, really. And I think that it just sort of felt like you kind of saw Trace Jackson Davis just reinvigorated by everything that's gone on in the last, you know, I don't know what now. Is it 3 weeks? Is it 2 weeks? I've lost all track of time at this point. It's been a tunnel of coaching search mixed with NCAA tournament. And I think tomorrow I might just literally sleep until Friday. So we'll see. My wife probably won't let me do that, but you never know.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. And yeah, I think it's been a couple weeks now since he has been hired, or Coach Woodson was hired, and it does seem like the news has been fast and furious, and I think we still expect more news because, Zach, a lot of guys still in the transfer portal, Christian Lander, Armon Franklin, Race Thompson come to mind immediately, and those, I think, are guys that you want back for next season if they're willing to come back and build this thing up under Coach Woodson. And hearing Trace Jackson Davis's comments that Coach Woodson doesn't want to rebuild, his desire to win fairly immediately coming out of the gate, It does beg the question, with TJD back, and depending on what happens with certain players that you would want back for next year that are in the transfer portal, and then how many players are in the portal now. I mean, there is some really, really talented players, even from within the Big Ten Conference, just an amazing number of really good basketball players that are available as of this date, and that could become more as the NCAA middle of this month could pass a rule for a one-time immediately eligible transfer. But I think it's possible that this team could maybe marry some of the good players and some of the good things from Archie Miller's final season with some new additions led by Parker Stewart, who's already at Bloomington and has reaffirmed his commitment, and others from the transfer portal perhaps. And could this be an IU team that gives Coach Woodson's career at the college level a chance to get off on a winning note?
I think there's certainly a chance. I mean, you know, and we've seen Indiana link strongly with Xavier Johnson, the Pitt transfer, who had one of the highest assist rates in the country last season. I think you're right that, some of this is down to just how much this roster stays together. And, you know, I think the odds that everybody who's still in the portal for Indiana comes back out and stays in Indiana, just in terms of, you know, the law of averages in large numbers, says probably Indiana still has to factor in for losing one or two. But you've already gotten some really good news, as you referenced there, not just with Trace Jackson Davis, but with Parker Stewart, who I know everyone around the program is very high on. We haven't seen him play yet, but of course, guys have been practicing with him, open gyms, things like that. And then if you could add somebody like Xavier Johnson, that's another really strong impact transfer that, you know, could maybe alleviate some of the pain you might feel from losing an Armand Franklin or something like that, if Franklin does elect to go. And you would imagine Indiana, I would not expect Indiana, let's say, let's just live in a hypothetical world where Xavier Johnson does pick IU. I don't think that would necessarily be the end of IU in the transfer portal. I think that's kind of where everybody's going to be this year. And I think I've got a transfer portal theory I'll lay on you if you want it.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I may have already, but my wife and I are in the process of looking for a new house here in Bloomington, just looking for something a little bigger. And we have discovered, of course, that the housing market is just on fire, not just here, but I think around the country. And I think there's some, you know, I think there's some economic reasons for that. Interest rates are low. Obviously, some people, you know, or have some extra cash from, you know, COVID and the stimulus payments, and maybe just not having much to spend your money on when you're not taking trips or making big purchases. But I also wonder, you know, I think whenever people talk about how many kids are in the portal, and I think we're approaching or around 20% of Division I players, or at least Division I scholarship players now, 15 to 20%. Maybe it'll be this way every year. I don't know. But I just wonder if home ownership or home buying is at this surging level at the same time transferring is, because everybody has basically just spent an entire winter locked up behind their door, and they've not been able to go anywhere or do anything, and they've been locked into these very strict routines, and frankly, they just need a break. They need something different. They need something new. You know, they've had to sit there just bored out of their minds with what they had. And I'm not even necessarily saying, you know, guys are going to regret transferring. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think it could just be a mental health thing as much as anything else. But I wonder if there aren't a lot of guys out there, and it's not just men's basketball, it's other sports too. But in men's basketball, if there aren't a lot of guys that just think, I just need something new. You know, it's just been a long year, and I'm just, rightly, wrongly, fairly or not, I'm just so tired of this place that I need something a little bit fresh. And so, but you know, time may prove me wrong on that, but what I don't think I'll be proven wrong on is that even if Indiana were to land somebody like Xavier Johnson out of the portal, I don't think they'd necessarily be done there. But even if, again, you know, you saw like an Armand Franklin stay or a Race Thompson stay, et cetera.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, very good point there. Makes a lot of sense. And I think that if we think the transfer portal is active right now, it's way up over 1,000, I believe. You mentioned almost 20%. Of college basketball players. If this legislation passes and is immediately enacted, later this month for a one-time transfer, it could even explode more, which would be crazy. But that's where we're headed, it looks like. And, Zach, I want to close with this. You've, in addition to covering all this transition from Archie Miller to Mike Woodson, been covering the NCAA tournament because it's right here in our state in greater Indianapolis. So the championship game is tonight. And really, these have been two of the better teams. Obviously, Gonzaga, what they've done is amazing. But these have been two of the better teams all college basketball season long. What do you see tonight? Can anybody beat the Bulldogs? Or was there one challenge in this tournament going to be that semifinal game and that challenge from UCLA? And, of course, Suggs answered back with dang near a half-court shot to win it there in overtime. But what are your thoughts on tonight?
I mean, I think the first thing, and this is a simplistic thing, but it's what I wrote about this. I'm glad it's this game. You know, I think we all are. It just feels like we've all been waiting for this game specifically for a long time now, for really 2 years. And, you know, frankly, now more than ever, this season more than ever, I'm glad that it is truly kind of one versus two. This is the first time since 1962, two teams that were ranked all season in the AP top three will play for a national title. It's only the fourth time in the last 20 years that the top two teams in KenPom have played for a national title. And when you think about some of the games we got in those other, the other three times, one was the 2016 Villanova UNC game that ended in the half court shot. Or not the half-court shot, but excuse me, the game-winning three-pointer. One was Kansas-Memphis, which, of course, was a great game, went to overtime, and then one was Illinois-North Carolina in 2005, and which was also a very good game. I don't know that it was necessarily quite as dramatic as the others, but I don't think you can sit here, especially with the way that UCLA gave Gonzaga everything it wanted for 45 minutes, I don't think we can sit here and say that Baylor is the only team that can beat Gonzaga. I think it's clear that, you know, there are other teams out there that could. But I think you've just got so many fascinating, you know, matchup layers in this. Baylor's one of the best offensive rebound teams in the country. Gonzaga is one of the best at cleaning the defensive glass. You know, Gonzaga's the number one effective field goal percentage team in the country. Baylor's number four. Baylor's the number three team in the country, turning opponents over on 24.6% of possessions. Gonzaga only turns ball over on 16% of possessions. You've got, you know, fascinating matchups with how does Gonzaga deal with that kind of three-headed monster that Baylor's got in the, I don't know if you quite call it the backcourt, but, you know, those three, basically three guards, in Mitchell, Butler, and Teague. On the other hand, you know, the question we've asked everybody, asked Gonzaga, is basically just how do you match up with a team that can throw, you know, Suggs, Ayayi, Kispert, and Timmy all at you, you know, in a just such an effective way. Those are basically four very different players. They can all hurt you in different ways. And, you know, it's Baylor's bench has had a really good NCAA tournament. I think Baylor very much looks like the team that it was before it hit that COVID shutdown. There was a little bit of that, you know, kind of dip. They had a late season shutdown, kind of through the middle part of February. And then, you know, they were still good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they won four of their last five games after they came back, lost to Kansas on the road. There's no harm or no fault in that, but they didn't quite look the same. And of course they lost in the Big 12 tournament to Oklahoma State, but since they've gotten into the tournament, they're winning their games by an average of more than 15 points. It very much looks like they are kind of back, you know, to their best. And so it just, we can talk about narratives. We can talk about matchups. We can talk about Gonzaga going for perfection or Baylor trying to finish this 18-year project under Scott Drew, you know, after, you know, from kind of the depths that they came from when he took over and on. I think it's, the matchups are fascinating. You know, the sort of statistical comparisons are fascinating, and I'm just really interested to see where this thing goes. I think it's going to be a great game. The one thing I would be very surprised about is if this isn't, you know, a real sort of back and forth game.
Yeah, very excited about the national championship game tonight. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest here on Mondays. Zach, as always, thanks for the great insight and conversation, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
We'll head to a commercial break, come back with our final guest of the day, Chad Gilbert. He's the athletic director at Charlestown High School, also IHSA Executive Board President. We'll talk more Silver Creek winning the state championship, other local topics as well. Stay with us for that here on the day of the NCAA championship tonight, Zaga and Baylor. It should be a great one to cap off what has been a crazy, crazy season. And kudos to everybody involved and the city of Indianapolis and so many partners I know on a great tournament. This has been a great thing for our state. I think it makes a lot of sense to host in Indianapolis as often as possible. I don't think we'll ever see the entire tournament hosted in one location again. At least let's hope not. Let's hope that we're in a normal world from this point moving forward. But job well done to get this thing in Indianapolis, and it all concludes tonight with the national championship game. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you 100-1 odds on the golfer of your choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, so sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in all the action and choose your golfer before the tournament tees off Thursday morning. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THR when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer of your choosing finishes in the top 10 of this weekend's tournament. That's code THR to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, Monday program. Chad Gilbert is my guest. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown, also IHSA Executive Board President. And Chad, I know what you were doing Saturday. You were in front of the TV with the family. You probably had some good food, and you were watching all four of the IHSA state championship games, including the 3A game where the locals, Silver Creek, brought home another championship, and you were watching the final four games as well. You probably had a couple TVs set up so you could watch, or screens set up so you could watch both at the same time. But what a day of basketball it was. There was some great talent on display in all of the state championship games. A couple classics, the 3A and 4A game, were down-to-the-wire type games. And then the final four, the first game, Houston and Baylor, it didn't do a lot as far as being competitive. But that UCLA-Gonzaga game was awesome, and what a finish it was. A great day for a basketball junkie like yourself on Saturday.
Matt, do you have a patch to our Ring doorbell? Because that's exactly the setup that we had. You forgot that we had honey baked ham, though, as we were eating it as part of our pre-Easter dinner.
There you go.
That we worked it out. But it was a good time Saturday. And, you know, going to the high school, Matt, you think about this. We made it. You know, spring sports are starting up. We've had great crowds at our spring sports. We're continuing to social distance, continuing to wear masks. But last year at this time, man, we weren't sure what was going to happen. You know, you talk about me being the board president, I've not been to a meeting since I was elected. I go to the next meeting in May in Indianapolis. I've not been to Indianapolis since. So, you know, to feel this relief, to feel this kind of monkey off your back, it feels good to have things come back to normal. And for the IHSA, for the teams, for the administration, for the fans, to be able to make it through this year, hats off to them, you know, because it's a great thing. And if you watch that tournament, you saw a lot of great basketball. I think in there, a couple of things that stood out is I think some guys may have played their way on the All-Star team. I think some guys, there's going to be some positions that's not going to be filled. There's two things that you don't want right now after this season. One, you don't want to beat Kentucky because Indiana is going to be awfully hard to beat in the All-Star Series. And two, you don't want to be the person picking these teams because there's going to be some guys that are left off that are really, really, really good players. And that's how it's been, you know, traditionally in years past when the things are strong. And that's what makes it so special. You know, I didn't make the All-Star team in 91. It scarred me forever. I get Glenn Robinson, Allen Henderson, Brian Evans, you know, great NBA guys that happened to play the same position as me. Daryl Baker, who had one of the best seasons in the history of Jeffersonville High School, didn't make it his senior year. And then you look back at other years, there's some guys who made it. They were just, so-so. And that's just kind of how this thing works. But when you get a stacked year like this, woo, it's hard, hard, hard for Kentucky to compete.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Chad Gilbert is my guest. I think we also – you're a former girls coach as well. You won a state championship with the Jeffersonville girls. I think we've got to talk about this, how unique and how special it is for Sellersburg to have a boys basketball and a girls basketball state champion in the same year. It's happened three times. I think Oregon Davis, a 1A school, also Warren Central, a 4A school, and now Silver Creek, a 3A school. Have all won girls' and boys' titles in the same season. That is just remarkable.
Well, Matt, that's a great setup because all three of those were class basketball. Prior to class basketball, Bedford did it in 1990. They both their girls' team and their boys' team won the state championship. And, you know, prior to that, I don't know if there's some other teams before that one, but I do know for a fact that Bedford did in 1990. Hard to do, but that's something that hats off to those guys, you know, the coaches, the community. Let's think about John Dabo the last 2 months of, you as an athletic director, you're not going to say fun because it wasn't fun for John Dabo. It was fun winning, but he worked. I mean, he worked for the last 2 months doing this boys and girls basketball championship. But that's something awfully special. I think for Scotty Shane is a little bit different because he was pursuing one. And I think for Brandon, it's a little bit different because he's defending one. And if you talk to those guys, I think the chase of going about that is Scotty had his eye on the target from last year, the way they got beat in the sectional, that he wasn't going to let that happen this year. Him and his team, they decided that last year. With Brandon, where do they stand? Where does Brandon stand right now? He feels like this monkey's off his back after he won it. If there's not COVID next year, does Silver Creek win three in a row, Matt? Are you talking about them with the Lawrence Norths, with the Mike Connolly, the Greg Odens, with the Marions, with the Bill Greens, the Jay Edwards, the Lyndon Jones? You know, to me, you know, with that, you know, Brandon has that monkey off his back. He's got two state championships, but he's also written himself a ticket to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. And that's something, you know, that it's amazing how that stuff works out, how it comes with it. But it wasn't easy. You know, if you talk to Brandon and you ask him about that, not an easy task to do what he's did. So hats off to both of those teams and to that community.
Absolutely. And, Chad, as we close out today, your thoughts on the national championship game tonight? You've watched a lot of the tournament. You know Zaga and Baylor well. And then also Jalen Suggs, who hit that game winner for Gonzaga on Saturday night. I didn't know this until after the game. I was listening to something about him. He was Mr. Basketball and Mr. Football in his state, his home state of Minnesota, in his senior year. That is just remarkable as well.
What an athlete. And he's the difference maker for Gonzaga. He's the one that gets those guys in position to score. He sets the table for those guys to have high percentage shots. And I think this is one of those games that you want to get up and down. You know, one thing I didn't realize is the guard on Baylor, number 45, is an Auburn transfer. And that guy is strong and hard to go against. My prediction tonight, Matt, is an entertaining game and up and down. And I think it's going to come down to last possession. Again, just like the game against UCLA. With that being said, they've went undefeated all year long. Let's see if they can figure it out. Let's keep the Zags rolling.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, former coach in the area, IHSA board member as well. Chad, as always, thanks for being with us on Monday to get the week started.
Matt, I appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana Sports. I want to take my prediction back in the Zags. I want them to win and be undefeated, so I don't want to snake bite them. Go for Baylor tonight.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Thank you, Chad.
Good talking to you, Matt. Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for this Monday show. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be here every day this week at 11 a.m. as always. And if you miss us, you can always join us as a podcast. We're available in Apple Podcasts. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll find us there. You can subscribe for free and catch our shows each and every afternoon. Listen to those on demand as well. Tuesday means we'll have the chance tomorrow to catch up with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star and also Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. And coming up later this week, I don't know exactly when just yet, but CJ Gunn of Lawrence North, who came up just short Saturday night in that 4A championship game. He's a commit to Mike Woodson now, reaffirmed his commitment last week. He's going to join the program as well to talk about his commitment to Indiana. And a little behind the scenes, what did Coach Woodson say to keep him in the fold for the Hoosiers? Back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.